right. Well, joining us on the phone is a very special guest, a good friend of mine and of Derek's, who's in studio with us. It is Dr. Ligon Duncan. Lig, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy day to be with us.
I'm delighted to be with you both, Josh.
Hey, boss.
Hey, my dear friend, Derek.
Ligon has been my boss in one form or another for almost 25 years, and he has been, for me, a very dear and close friend. And of course, here in the church, it's not Ligon they want to hear about, but his wife, Anne, and the children. And only yesterday, I was talking to Anne McCain, and she wanted to know, my cell phone still has a Mississippi number. And when she saw the Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, come up on her phone, she thought, this must be Anne Harley calling me. How are Anne and the children?
Well, thank you. I mean, Anne loves you and loves First Presbyterian Church. She's doing great. In fact, she's out right now shopping for one of our professors who lives in New York City. In fact, he's a First Presbyterian Church member, Jay Harvey, who was blessed under the ministry of Mark Ross and others at First Pres many years ago, and then worked for Louis Kaysen in the Kaysen Group. In fact, opened the Kaysen Group Charlotte office. Jay is our executive director in New York City, and he has a wife with a compromised immune system and a son with a compromised immune system, and they have a hard time finding the things that they need in New York City right now in lockdown. So Anne is actually out shopping for them to send them some supplies that they need. She has been busying herself checking on people all across the RTS system, ministering to the wives and families. So as you can imagine, she's busy as usual. And our children are well. My daughter is in Greenville, South Carolina, teaching school. And, of course, that means she's having to do it from home via digital online media. And my son, who is at Mississippi State University, Jennings is his name, is home as well and doing his study online.
Given the fact that you are the chancellor of the largest Reformed seminary in the world, and you've had a week or 10 days to take everything online, which was a mammoth effort on your part, churches are also doing the same, and we're trying to do the same here. And this is, I think, a game changer no matter what. I think that some of what we're doing will probably continue to be done in the future, but can you peer into the future and tell us a little bit about how you see this affecting the church now and in the months to come?
Well, that's a great question, Derek, and I'll answer it at two levels. I'll answer it at the seminary theological education level, and then I'll try and answer it at the church level. This is going to be an extinction level event for many educational institutions, including graduate schools and including seminaries. There are going to be many institutions that simply do not have the financial resources or the flexibility from the standpoint of teaching delivery and modality to adapt to the new reality that this is going to bring about. However long this lasts, there's no question that theological education is going to be different on the other side, just partly because this is going to be so hard economically for seminaries. Seminaries depend upon generous donors. Donors are being hurt by the markets and by the economy right now. Seminaries depend upon endowments. Endowments are being hurt by the markets and the economy now. Seminaries depend upon net tuition that comes in from students, and that's going to no doubt go down because a lot of students aren't going to be able to relocate and do residential theological education in this setting. And all three of those things are going to affect seminaries. Now, thankfully, RTS is well positioned to ford this very difficult stream that we're all having to go through right now. And I think by God's grace, we're going to be able to survive and thrive in this environment. Partly, it's because RTS is a pioneer in the area of the digital delivery of theological education. When the accreditors first accredited seminaries to do online and distance learning, RTS was a part of a special group of three schools that were accredited. We were actually accredited with at a higher degree than the others to do sort of a test for distance learning. And the accreditors still consider us the gold standard for digital online distance learning. And so that 30 years of experience is going to help us adapt in this current situation and then beyond it. And so no question, there are going to be huge challenges for theological education. I was just talking to a friend who leads another institution, and they think they're going to have to cut their budget as much as 50% to survive this particular moment. And even at RTS, I just have had a meeting yesterday with my audit and finance committee where we've cut our budget by about 7% in order to get through this particular situation that we are facing. Now, churches, as you know, Derek, are experiencing a similar kind of disruption. The congregation can't get together. In many cases, visitation can't be done by the pastors. There can't be personal contact because of the various rules about social distancing and not groups gathering and things of that nature. And so churches are trying to adapt digitally as best as they can to an environment where we can't gather. And the whole point of the church is gathering. And so those rules won't last forever. They'll last longer than we want them to. And on the other side, no doubt we're going to have to be careful because we're told by the experts that this pandemic is likely to continue to exist in various forms for at least 18 months. And that means that churches are going to have to be creative and flexible, and congregation members are going to have to devote themselves very deliberately to the sustaining of the church's ministry so that when we come out on the other side, the church has the necessary resources and staff to do this kind of personal ministry that's going to have to happen.
Thank you, Ligon. That was really helpful. What do you see us doing in this moment to help as a church and as Christians?
Well, the first thing is I think we need to appreciate the beauties of the ordinary means of grace right now. I think all of us ought to allow the longing of our hearts to regularly well up about being back together again, under the Word, under the preaching of the Word, the reading of the Word, singing together. I can't wait, Derek, to get back with the people of God in the congregation on the Lord's Day and sing. And I hope, Derek, that I will never take that for granted again. You know, I've always loved to be in the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, morning and evening. But I hope I cherish that more on the other side of this. And I think it's important for Christians to start cherishing what we're missing. You know, maybe all of us have taken too lightly the privileges of gathering together and just being able to be with one another. And I think we ought to deliberately, during this season, cherish those things in our minds so that when we enjoy them again, we do them with a full, robust gratitude to God for the amazing gift that He has given to us, that we don't go through this world alone. We go through it together with brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I think that's one thing we do. I think another thing, of course, that we need to do is we need to redeem the time. Whatever extra time the Lord has given to us in this time where we're confined to our homes, part of the way we ought to use that is in our own growth and devotion to the Lord. We ought to be reading good books. We ought to be reading our scriptures more. You know, you and I have talked often about how Christians don't read their Bibles as much today as they did 50 years ago. Well, this may be the Lord's way to stop a billion Christians in this world and put them in a situation where they can read their Bibles more. So we ought to be redeeming the time that way. And then, of course, we ought to be thinking about how we love our brothers and sisters in Christ in need and our neighbors in need. I know many people in the seminary community that are, for instance, shopping for older adults who are afraid to go out to the grocery store. The grocery store is probably the most necessary place and the most dangerous place right now from the standpoint of germs for older adults who are afraid. And so we have young people that will go out, they'll shop for older adults, drop the groceries at the doorstep, let them know that they're there and go away so that they don't cause them any particular danger. So I think we ought to all be finding ways that we can serve and minister to one another in the midst of this crisis.
Thank you, Ligon. Would you lead us in prayer?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Derek and for Josh, and I pray that you would bless them in their ministry to the congregation of First Presbyterian Church of Columbia, South Carolina. Thank you, Lord, that the gospel still goes forth from the pulpit. Thank you, O Lord, that the ministry of the church believes your word. Thank you, O Lord, for the great truths of the faith that give us hope in this moment in which so many people are hopeless. We pray that the light of the gospel would shine forth in the lives of the members of the congregation of First Pres. We pray that the ministers and elders of the church would be encouraged and protected. We pray that the brothers and sisters in Christ would help one another through this time and would be good neighbors to their friends and citizens and in the community in Columbia, South Carolina, and so show the power of the gospel through their lives. And then, Lord, we pray that you would spare us from this epidemic. Spare us, we pray. Bring us through this time and out of this time. And on the other side, O Lord, help us to love more the great means that you have given us that we enjoy together when we gather on the Lord's Day. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Ligon.
Absolutely. Great to talk to you, brother.
You as well.
Take care.